Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudevi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Bhavakana Lankata verse 3 Tasya Anacharitam Rajan Rishibhi Tattva Darshibhi Shrutam Varnitam Bodhi Vaya Tasyanu charitam raja Rishabhis tatpadarsavi Shrutami vanitam bhori Tavaya sita pater mahu
Thank you.
Tattva-darshibhi, my persons who know the absolute truth, Shrutam, have all been heard, indeed, Varnitam, as they have been so nicely described, Budhi, many, Vaya, Vayu, Sita Pate, of Ramchandra, Buhu, more than often. Translation. O King Parikshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramchandra have been described by great saints, the persons who have seen the truth. Because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramchandra, the husband of Mother Sita, I shall describe these activities only in brief. Please listen. Prabhupada, modern Rakshasa, posing as educationally advanced, merely because they have doctorates, have tried to prove that Lord Ramchandra is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but an ordinary person. But those who are learned and spiritually advanced will never accept such notions. They will accept the descriptions of Lord Ramchandra and his activities only as presented by Tattva-darshis, those who know the absolute truth. In Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead advises Tadvidi Pranipatena Pariprasnena Sevaya Upadekshanti te jnanam, jnaninas, tattva-darshanaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge on you because he has seen the truth. Unless one is tattva-darshi and complete knowledge of the absolute truth, one cannot describe the activities of the personality of Godhead. Therefore, although there are many so-called Ramayanas or histories of Lord Ramchandra's activities, some of them are not actually authoritative. Sometimes Lord Ramchandra's activities are described in terms of one's own imagination, speculations, or material sentiments. But the characteristics of Lord Ramchandra should not be handled as something imaginary. While describing the history of Lord Ramchandra, Sukadeva Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit, "You have already heard about the activities of Lord Ramchandra. Apparently, therefore, 5,000 years ago, there were many Ramayanas or histories of Lord Ramchandra's activities, and there are still. Are many still, but we must select only those books written by Tattva-darshis, not the books of so-called scholars who claim knowledge only on the basis of a doctorate." This is the warning by Sukadeva Goswami. There should be Tattva-darshibhi. Although the Ramayana composed by Valmiki is a huge literature, the same activity is summarized here by Sukadeva Goswami in a few verses. Translation, O King Parikshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramchandra have been described by great saintly persons who have seen the truth. Because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramchandra, the husband of Mother Sita, I shall describe these activities only in brief. Please listen. So, Ramchandra here in this chapter is described. As we know, the main purport of the Bhagavatam is to describe Krishna. Secondarily, the sages at Naimisharani are requested Suta Goswami to describe the avatars of the Lord. Therefore, we'll find that lists are given in the first canto and in the second canto of the different avatars. And then from canto 3 to canto 12, we have descriptions of many of those avatars with their particular activities. Most of them are not described in great detail. Sometimes Varaha, Narsimhadev, Urma, Matsya, those ones are described in more detail, and others with less detail. This, of course, is appropriate because, as I said, the main topic of the Bhagavatam is Krishna. So, though he is also said to be avatar, he is also called avatari, which means the source of all the avatars. When we say source, we do not mean that he created other avatars, because you cannot create God. God is eternal, avatars are eternal. But we say source in the sense that he is a complete manifestation of all qualities of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, we can say everything depends on him, that complete manifestation. Just as we can say the full moon is the full manifestation of the moon, and other phases of the moon are also the moon, but not manifesting that complete light. So, Krishna in the Bhagavatam is described as Swayam Bhagavan, or the complete form of the Supreme Lord, complete manifestation of the Supreme Lord. And others are taken in a secondary way. So therefore, Krishna is described in great detail, and the other forms are described in less detail. So here, for instance, it said, in brief, you can describe, I will describe these activities of Ramchandra because you've already heard about them. So of all the different avatars, we will find that, of course, Krishna gets a very prominent role, and next to that we get Ramchandra. So these are the two forms which are probably most commonly worshipped. And that is also rightly so, because Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan and manifests most of the qualities, therefore he's the most attractive, and therefore people will describe him, write about him, perform dances about him or dramas about him, etc. So very popular because of his attractive nature. And Rupa Goswami describes in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita that Ramchandra is second. So next to Krishna, he displays the greatest amount of qualities. So if Krishna is the Purima, then Ramchandra is the Sukla Chaturdasi. It's a little bit less in this manifestation of qualities. Nevertheless, he shows a significant amount. So, therefore, it is also appropriate that Ramchandra is described profusely in the scriptures and Ramayana, and is also very popular in stories, dances, narrations, etc. in India. So here, in the Bhagavatam also, we'll find a short description that covers several chapters of the activities and glories of Ramchandra. What is the specific nature of Ramchandra that distinguishes him from Krishna? They both have human-like forms rather than boar form or lion form or horse form or fish form or turtle form, whatever. So very human-like. On the other hand, we'll find Ramchandra is prominent for displaying the ideal nature of a king. Krishna, of course, plays the role of a king as the head of the Yadu. So technically, he allowed Ugrasena to rule as the actual king. Nevertheless, he was connected to the royal family and destroyed kingly qualities. But his aim was not that. His aim and the main significance of Krishna is not even his activities in Mathura and Dwarka, but his activities in Vrindavan when he was not a king. So, even though they're both human-like, Krishna's activities are celebrated because he's even more human-like and does not show great powers as a king, but rather he shows intimate qualities as a cowherd boy. So that is one distinction between Ramchandra and Krishna. So that type of mood where people recognize Ramchandra as a king and they also recognize him as a lord, and the devotees of Krishna, they don't recognize him
in Vrindavan as Supreme Lord at all, only as a son or a friend or lover, etc. So because of the intimate form and position of Krishna, the inhabitants of Vrindavan accept him only as in their relationship with him and not as the Supreme Lord. So in Ramchandra we have this recognition of him as Supreme Lord. Though Krishna appears in the material world in his particular form as a cowherd boy, etc., and then performs pastimes in Vrindavan, Mathura and Dwarka, it should be understood that all the forms of the Lord are actually within Krishna, and he can manifest any of the pastimes or qualities of these different forms. So it is said that when he was in Vrindavan as a child, he would imitate the pastimes of Ramchandra, etc. Similarly, we see that even Nityananda would play this role as a child. So it is also said that all the forms, not just Ramchandra, all the forms of the Lord, all the avatar forms, entered into Krishna when he appeared in this material world. And therefore, when he was doing all his activities, they all participated in those activities as well. And when he left, when he disappeared, he didn't really leave, but disappeared from the mortal world, from the common vision, then all of these different forms went back to their respective abodes. So, therefore, when Krishna appears, all the forms of the Lord also manifest within him at that time to partake of his pastimes. So therefore, Krishna is the complete form of the Supreme Lord. And actually, if we worship Krishna, we worship all forms. They're included within him because he is complete. If we worship the other forms, no, we don't get that same result because Krishna is the complete form and the others are not. Nevertheless, Ramchandra, of course, as I said, second after Krishna in manifesting wonderful qualities. So he does show a significant amount more qualities than the others. The name Rama, of course, means one who gives enjoyment and one who enjoys. This name also applies to Krishna. When we say Hare Rama, we're not talking about Ramchandra so much because we're not worshipping him, we're worshipping Krishna. So therefore, it refers to Krishna, who is the enjoyer and who gives enjoyment. So the names can be all applied to Krishna. Whatever names of avatars we have are also applicable to Krishna. But in a more complete form. As for Ramchandra, we see that his activities are glorifying profusely, particularly in the Ramayana written by the Valmiki. So this is a famous work. In fact, so famous and attractive are the qualities of Ramchandra that his pastimes are spread throughout Asia. So we find the pastimes recounted in Thailand and Burma and Indonesia, etc. All these other places also have these pastimes. And even it spread into China. Yeah, there's a whole story of a monkey, the ventures of a monkey, monkey king, doing different activities. So that was influenced by the activities of Hanuman. In this way, the activities from Chandra actually influence a lot of the cultures in other parts of the world. So that indicates also his very attractive qualities. Prominent in his activities is, of course, this heroism, that he fights the demons and kills the demons, and he's a great king. This is, of course, virya rasa. Showing great courage and valor against all sorts of obstacles. And then there is another sentiment very prominent. Of course, the Madhurya Rasa is there in his relationship with Sita, and his Sakya Rasa is prominent in his relationships between him and his brothers, particularly Lakshman. Dasya is prominent with the others, including Hanuman. And we have, of course, his parents are in Vatsalya Rasa, but the most prominent rasa, of course, is Dasya for the most of the population. As for other rasas are very prominent rasas, karuna rasa, that of lamentation. So when Sita and Rama were separated, then we have this rasa expressed a lot. And that is one of the main parts of pastimes in of Ramchandra, the separation of Sita and Rama and his attempt to retrieve her from Ravana. So there's a prominent Karuna Rasa represented in Ramayana as well. So it is a mixture of all of these different rasas, but the prominence is given to this Virya, Karuna, and the Madhurya in relationship with Sita. So there are these different rasas available. However, they are available to limited people. Madhurya rasa is only with Sita, for instance. And therefore the Karuna rasa, of course, is between them, but also experienced by others as a result of their separation. And all the other major rasas, of course, are limited to a few people, like Sakya rasa and Vatsalya rasa. With Krishna, however, this is different. So we have infinite number of gopis in Madhurya rasa, an infinite number of elder cowherd and cowherd women in Vatsalya rasa, and infinite cowherd boys in Sakya rasa, and infinite cowherd boys in Dasya rasa. So we find all of these relationships are there, but in more profusion, more complete way in Krishna. Moreover, in that relationship, they do not take Krishna also as Supreme Lord, whereas even with Lakshman, he understands Ramchandra is Supreme Lord. Mother and father understand he's Supreme Lord. Sita understands that Krishna is Rama is Supreme Lord. So there's a mixture in their rasas, just as Vasudeva and Devaki also see Krishna as their son in Vatsalya rasa, but also as Supreme Lord. So there's a bit of a weaker relationship in all these rasas. Whereas with Krishna and Vrindavan, there's no weakness at all. It is purely seeing him in those relationships of Adasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya rasa. That is the difference between Krishna and Ramchandra. So there is, we can say, some Karuna rasa expressed with Krishna also, because Krishna separates from the gopis and from the inhabitants of Vrindavan for a period of time and then comes back to them. That is also there. But we'll find that actually all rasas are represented with Krishna. So there are 12 rasas, 5 primary rasas and 7 secondary rasas. So all of these take their complete form in Krishna and his manifestation of pastimes with his devotees. So we have all of the rasas manifested. And of course the primary rasas are all there in very obvious form, very evident form among many, many associates. So in this way, Krishna demonstrates his aspect as Purna or complete, and that all the rasas are manifested completely with Krishna. So next is Ramchandra. So he manifests the rasas, but in a more limited way, with limited people. And then if we get Narsimhadeva and Varaha, then the rasas are manifested in even more limited way. Actually, more limitation usually is only Dasya rasa and of course Madhurya rasa with Lakshmi. So more limitation is put on the rasas and the people who participate in those rasas. And Dasya becomes more and more prominent as the rasa in the other forms of the Lord. So we will see here, therefore, that we put a, make a hierarchy of the forms of the Lord according to their capacity for manifesting rasa. So that is natural because we know the nature of the Supreme Lord is bliss. And bliss is manifested as rasa. So if the rasas are complete, that means the full manifestation of ananda or bliss. And that is in Krishna. And therefore the others will be subsequently put in a lower position in the hierarchy because of that. So though Krishna and the other forms are abheda or non-different in terms of ontology or actual identity as being Supreme Lord, yes, they're all Supreme Lord, therefore they're all equal, they're non-different. At the same time, Krishna is considered outstanding or special or excellent or in the highest position because of his manifestation of rasa, it is complete, whereas the others are less complete. So that is explained by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion. He makes that point. Manifestation of rasa, ultimately, the highest rasa is, among rasas, the most intense and complete is Madhurya rasa. And therefore Krishna manifests that Madhurya rasa completely in his leelas with unlimited gopis in the spiritual world and in leela in the material world. And of course those pastimes are remarkable because of the rasleela that is considered the ultimate pastime of all the different pastimes, in which he manifested billions of forms to personally dance with billions of gopis simultaneously for the whole night of Brahma, which he contracted into one night within our time. And he did that for a whole year, several years. And this expresses the highest type of bliss possible, in which all why rasa dance is because in that dance Krishna and all the gopis express the highest bliss using song and dance and all sorts of anubhavas, dabachari bhavas, and sattvika bhavas, etc. All the different bhavas were manifest in a most intense form within the rasa-lila. So therefore Krishna is put in that highest position. So Ramchandra appeared in Treta Yuga, but not this Treta Yuga, which is only a few million years ago. According to Rupa Goswami, he actually appeared in the 24th cycle of Vaivasvata Manvantara. We're in the 28th cycle now, so that means 16 million years ago approximately, or more. In the Treta Yuga then, that was the appearance time of Ramchandra. So it's not just this Treta Yuga, but way back, in another Treta Yuga, four cycles back. So he appeared over 16 million years ago, actually. Nevertheless, his activities are so attractive that people still glorify him and talk about those activities, and the scripture still remains because of his nature as the Supreme Lord. If he were just a human being, no one would remember after 16 million years because he's the Supreme Lord. Those activities are attractive to all people, so therefore even today we can remember those activities even though they occurred 16 million years ago. So this is the particular nature of Ramchandra. Well, there's a Treta Yuga avatar that's different from the Leela avatars. Treta Yuga avatars red in color. He appears every cycle. So there's 71 Manvantara cycles within Vaivasvata Manvantara, so there's red avatar appearing 71 times then. But at the same time, in that 24th cycle, as well as the red avatar, we also get Ramchandra appearing. He's not a Yuga avatar, he is a Leela avatar, so he's separate from that, and he also appears at that time.
Whenever the Lord visits, all the associates keep coming with him.
They are eternal associates. Each avatar has his eternal associates. Some of them, of course, are expansions. So therefore, Lakshmi is with Varaha, or Lakshmi is with Narasimhadeva, or Lakshmi in the form of Sita is with Ramchandra, or the other form, we can say that Radha's expansions are Sita and Lakshmi, etc. So counterparts of Shakti are there, the eternal associates. So we could say their expansions are there in the other forms and limited to those particular rasas which manifest within them in the particular mood. And of course then we have other jivas also associating with those forms, those who have done sadhana to that particular form and achieve perfection, then they associate with that form eternally in the spiritual world, in that particular rasa, which we can say is limited in one sense because Krishna has got is the most complete form and the others are somewhat limited. Simply called Rakta. We can't associate them with the Leela avatars. They're independent of the Leela avatars. Of course, sometimes the Leela avatar becomes the Yuga avatar in the form of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. They also become the Yuga avatar. But normally, the Leela avatar is simply the Yuga avatar, and he is called Rakta, red color, and he teaches sacrifice.
Different associates for Krishna and other forms of Vishnu.
So some of them are expanded forms in the sense like Lakshmi and Radha and Sita because the expansion of Shakti. Others, of course, are different jivas with a particular attraction for that form, and they associate with those forms eternally. Apparently we have a list in the Vishnu Puran of the different persons who become Vyasadeva in the different Kali Yugas in Vaivasvata Manvantara or whatever like that. On the other hand, that looks as if therefore he must be a jiva or something who takes the form. But Rupa Goswami indicates that the real Vyasadeva is actually Vishnu himself, Supreme Lord himself, not a jiva, but that jivas can merge into him, and those who are qualified and partake of his pastimes at certain periods. So that's his explanation. But whether the actual Vyasadeva appears every at the Sunday of every Dwarpa in Kali Yuga, he doesn't really say that. But it could be possible, but he doesn't say.
Sometimes certain devotees are attracted to Ramchandra. Is it all right to preach to them and continue to become a devotee of Krishna?
Well, it depends. For instance, in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Murari Gupta was attached to Ramchandra. Lord Chaitanya said, well, Krishna's higher, you should worship Krishna. But Murari Gupta thought about it overnight, and then the next morning he said, I cannot do that because I am attracted to Ramchandra. So then Lord Chaitanya said, yes, that is the right attitude. So if one has an attraction for a certain form, one cannot give that up.
Is it possible for a devotee to be both in Namaskar
and Namaskar? No. No. Lord Chaitanya and Krishna's pastimes, yes, because they're considered non-different.
Can you show the established form? What is the form?
Well, that's to show that Krishna and Lord Chaitanya are everything complete, and that all the forms manifest within them, that's all.
Why is it not in India,
Well, there's a controversy about that. Is it showing impersonalism or not? And some people say, well, Prabhupada said it was somewhat impersonal or something like that. And someone said, well, show me the impersonal statement. And I don't know if they found a statement or not in that. Nevertheless, the original work is the most authentic, we can say. Now, there are Ramayans in all languages, in Hindi and Assamese and in Telugu and in Tamil, they have one. Also probably in Malayali, etc. So every language, major language, has a Ramayana. But we really have to check out and see if they've got the philosophy correct there, because sometimes poetically they may start changing things. So we have to check out and see. As for this Tulsidas, I don't know, one will have to go over the whole thing and see whether there is impersonal statements there or not.
Any of the previous
No. Very rarely they quote Ramayana even. I think this in all the commentaries I've seen only one quotation from Ramayana. All the names of Devatas also indicate the Supreme Lord, according to Madhva. So Indra indicates Vishnu, Agni indicates Vishnu, etc. Because if we take the etymology and analyze the word, the ultimate meaning is leader or the first or the king, etc. So it all ultimately refers to Supreme Lord, not the Devatas.
நிறைய பேர் இருக்காங்க கொடுத்துடலாம் சைட்ல கொடுத்துருவேன் உங்களுக்கு ஓகே.
Sorry, Jate.